Whew, welly, 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 welly. Man, the weekend is fucking busy. I wonder, assuming I'm keeping the same release schedule I've been doing Wednesdays and Saturdays. So there's a 50% chance that this is actually coming out on a Saturday. But who knows? Might be a Wednesday. But in real life, it's a Saturday. And yeah, dude, the weekend. Whew. Everybody's working for the weekend, as true in South Korea as it is in North America. I'm walking between Songjeon Beach and Hyundai Beach, my favorite ever thing. But I'm actually up in the woods, in the trail, the little mountain trail, just above the boardwalk, because everything is so busy. Even that fucking boardwalk is just packed with people. Packed with peanuts like a fucking Snickers bar. There's a random music, and I can hear like a trowel, someone farming to music down there somewhere. But yeah, I was thinking this morning, I only got a couple of days left in Busan, though I likely will be back after I go to Jeju, or at least in this vicinity. So I was like, what should I do today? And it's like, well, I could go to good old Songjeon, sit at the Adia Coffee, because I did this the other day and it was wonderful. Just like the nice empty-ish beach. And that Adia Coffee only had like four fucking people in it, including me. Two old ladies talking, a guy on his laptop, and me. Wonderful. But in the back of my mind, I was like, it is Saturday though. It's probably gonna not be like that. But then the other idea was, I haven't been to the reservoir in some time. When I first got to Busan, I was hitting up the reservoir all the time and hiking all the mountains near there. But it's actually quite a long walk to get there and then to hike up a giant 600-meter mountain. Which, it's funny how blasé I was about that at the time. I'm realizing more and more that that's really high, you know? Mount Takao, I realized the other day, feels big because it's quite a gradual. It takes a long time to get to the top, but it's under 600. But then that mountain I found in Jetjeon toward the end of staying there, it was like 700. So, I mean, I don't know. Mountains, man, it's all just... Even like a 400-meter mountain can feel very big. So I guess it doesn't really matter. When you're dealing with these numbers, anything sub 1,000, it's all just a mountain. But yeah, so if I did go that way, that is quite, you know, that's the day. That's going to take the whole day. And I kind of wanted to get back home a little early because of the 12-hour time difference between Atlantic Canada and here. If I'm going to call home or talk to anybody, the weekend is the only time, really, that people are available. Saturday night for me, Saturday morning for them. Still a little tricky to maneuver it, but it's impossible during the week. So as with all things, just the weekdays are my friend, the weekends, busy. And yeah, holy fuck balls. I didn't realize how busy it was gonna be, even just getting on the train, the good old light blue line that's like the above ground train that's like a for real train line that has also a subway component as well as the long distance train. Just packed full of people. And I realized it originates at Bujeon, which is walkable, very easily walkable from my Airbnb, so I can go to the first stop. It's as empty as it's gonna be. It was still packed. And then as it went, guys started coming in with bicycles. And I was like, I always sort of stand against, I try to get to the front or the last car so I can just lean against the wall and be as out of everyone's way as possible. But that's also generally where bicyclists go. And there were three people with bicycles pinning me to the wall. Normally I would get out of the way and let the bicycles have that area, but there was nowhere to go. This thing was so packed. And I was kind of thinking like, what are you guys doing? You have bicycles. Fucking bicycle. Busan's not that big. Where are you trying to get to bicycle to where? Start bicycling from here. Why are you on the train? I don't know. I mean, I guess they're probably heading to some kind of a mountain bike dealy or something. And yeah, then I got to the beach and yeah, just a mountain of people got out of the train at the beach and we're all walking toward the beach. And I was like, well, this is not going to be the same. That's for sure. And then I got to the beach and yeah, it's like really busy, 200 times busier than when I'm usually here. And the idea didn't seem so bad because people just weren't sitting at the bottom. I saw as I left on the top floor, I'm like, oh yeah, look at that. It's not just a little smattering of people. It's pretty full. Because when I went in, there were already some people at the there's only one little self-serve kiosk. And they definitely don't hurry. They don't skimp with the coffee in Korea, which makes sense because it's such a huge coffee culture. If you buy the $5 fucking fancy coffee, they do take their time and make it all proper. So even just the three people ahead of me, it's like, well, that's going to take a little while if I'm the fourth person. But I also wasn't directly in line. I'm like, let me just go sit down at the window for a sec. Let them clear out. But another group of people came in and then another group. And I was like, all right, now I'm like eighth in line. I'm getting out of here. This is not going to work. Not going to happen today. And that's when I glanced upstairs as I left and was like, oh yeah, the place is actually super packed. And then I noticed as I went down the street a bit, there's a Twosome Place coffee shop that I went to one of those by one of my first attempts to go to Bukhansan, the actual Bukhansan subway stop in Seoul, where I failed to actually find any mountain approaches. But I did go to a Twosome Place there that was three stories. This enormous building, just giant coffee shop like you couldn't even dream of in North America. It's so enormous. And there's one of those here too. As I walked, I'm like, oh yeah, look at that Twosome Place. I've walked by it many times, but it's always just kind of empty. And that's why they're so big, is for Saturday, you know, just for the weekend. Time to fucking squeeze in everyone. But then I was like, eh, whatever. Who fucking cares? I'll just fucking go to, I'll just do the little walk along the shoreline. And then even that was really busy. I didn't want to pull out my recorder. So now I'm on this path and I'm actually going deeper into the woods. I'm not staying along the shoreline this time. And this goes a lot deeper than I thought. Oh, there's the blue and the orange. So this is that official coastal pathway that I saw north up the coast from here. The blue is back where I was going and I'm heading toward the orange, 1.2 kilometers to something. All right, good enough, let's go. And I guess basically the little lesson I know this, but I had to relearn it today, is just that expectation. It's amazing how much disgruntledness or kind of unhappiness, low-level unhappiness comes from expectation. Big time unhappiness probably comes from serious shit that's wrong. But if it's just little stuff, if you just kind of can't get over the hump, you're just feeling a little like disgruntled with the day, a lot of it might just be your expectation, where I just had this expectation for things to not be that busy, because when I come down here during the week, it's just not that busy. What day was it the first day? The first day I came to Busan, that was the busiest I've ever seen the trains. That's never happened again, but that was not the weekend. I think that was just after work hours or something. It's nice, though, that it never hit that level again. That was just extremely bad luck that when I first arrived, everything was crazy. But yeah, and it's not only just this. It's all these dumb little things of like, I left my laundry like right to the end where I'm literally out of shirts. And it's like, I got no choice. I got to do laundry. But everybody else was doing laundry, probably again a weekend thing because this was Friday night. The little share house is just more busy on the weekends. And yeah, like I got home early so I could do laundry and I just couldn't. I could not sneak my laundry in all fucking night. Other people were doing laundry. Then I finally managed to squeeze mine in, but they do have a little sign of like, please don't do this stuff after 10 p.m. And my laundry was done just a little bit after 10. But I didn't get to put it in the dryer. And yeah, the dryer would have taken it past 11. And there is a room right next to the laundry. And I would feel bad if I was making noise for for that person. Because it's not even just the wum, wum, wum of the dryer. The dryer here, which a lot of the washing machines and dryers do this here, but this one is really obnoxious. It plays a jingle to let you know the laundry's done. And it's so fucking loud that even though I'm at the other side of the floor, like I'm two hallways away, I can vaguely hear it. I can hear the song. It's really loud when you're there. And it's endless. It just won't stop, this little jingle. Whoa, a snake. Hey, buddy. Cool, that's my first snake that I've seen here. Quite a small snake, but I just didn't expect it. Watch out for snakes. That's my first snake in Asia, but he seemed pretty harmless. Anyway, this jingle, it's just like da 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 ba 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 da 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 ba da ba da ba da da. Like, it just won't stop. And it's like, oh yeah, I know, I'm right here. I've opened the door already. I know my fucking laundry's done. Shut up, please. So, if nothing else, I didn't want the jingle to play that late at night. It's so obnoxious. So instead, I just put all my clothes on clothes hangers, put them in my wet room, in my little shower room with the door closed and the fan on to see if they could dry. But, you know, that's just too much. It's just too much clothing for things to dry like that. And, yeah, and just today, just that weird little slight smell of just like, I just don't trust this. I think I just need to start over. Just need to do this laundry again. Well, will I be able to today? Who knows? I was going to do it this morning, but like noon, somebody else was using the dryer. And it's like, God fucking damn it. And tonight, since it's the weekend, it'll probably still be busy. I don't know. Between Sunday, Monday, and I'm leaving on Tuesday, I'm sure I'll get my laundry done. But it's just like, again, just expectation. I just expect to be able to do my laundry. And it's so annoying to not be able to. Then I expect the beach not to be crowded, and I expect all this stuff, all this fucking dumb shit. Even all the way to just expecting, I guess, because I also got woken up a little early today because of the person running the Airbnb doing vacuuming. But it occurred to me that even with that, it's like, why do I expect to be well rested? I shouldn't even have that expectation. I've practically never been well rested a day in my life. I should be fucking used to it by now. It's just the expectation. Expectation is a killer. It just makes you so grumpy. You expect things. And then as I like discarded the expectations, it's like, okay, so I got to do my laundry again. Who the F cares? Like, I didn't lose anything out of that. I am wearing my last shirt. But even just those shirts that I washed and didn't dry, if I have to wear one of those, you know, I'll survive. I expect, I guess, the train to not be that crowded. I expect the coffee shops to not be that busy. I expect the beach to be all to myself. None of these are reasonable expectations. I mean, they're somewhat based on precedent, but doesn't mean it's going to happen. Oh, this is interesting. I don't quite know where I'm going. I've sort of doubled back. I think I'm heading back toward Songjiang, but on some new trail I've never been on. But anyway, the other thing, though, with this is I do still think it's also like a combination of your brain and your body, that it is important to have these thoughts in your brain that you shouldn't expect these things, that you're expecting things you don't deserve, and it's just making you miserable. Like, just don't expect them, and everything will be fine. I think it is important to have that in your head, because if you're just dedicated to being a dickhead, I'm sure you can just continue to be a dickhead come hell or high water. But there's also the physical element that I think if I was just in my Airbnb, I think it'd be extremely hard for me to think my way out of my funk. You know, I would just be feeling annoyed and bothered and vaguely grumpy all day. It's like once I'm out here walking around, out in the sunshine and out in nature, like it didn't even occur to me to think, like, am I having unrealistic expectations? Am I the one making myself miserable for no reason? That thought didn't cross my mind till I was out here, because then it's like I'm quote unquote giving in to the situation, but it's like failing forward. It's like, oh no, so I'm at the beach and I can't sit in the coffee shop. Instead, I got to go to the convenience store and buy a coffee and walk along the beautiful beach. And now I'm walking through the beautiful mountain path. Oh no. Oh, what a shame. Like, And then that's when it occurs to me, like, oh yeah, I'm just building expectations for myself, and I'm feeling grumpy based on some expectation, where the reality is just, this is awesome. What the heck is wrong with this? Yeah, I've like looped around. I'm on the other side of the farm with the radio. Oh, it's not a radio. It's the trolley going by. It's spouting out music and announcements and random noises. I guess it's to tell people, like, don't cross. That makes sense, because that is where I crossed the train track. So that's the thing warning people, hey, don't cross. There's a train coming. Yeah, and even this, apparently I've looped back around. I'm not going toward Hyundai, but that's fine. I don't care. Like, going back to Sanjiang, but that's, this is cool. This is some path I've never been on. I saw a snake. But yeah, it's just, I don't know. I guess it's like, I guess I just really don't want to become that archetypal person who has got, like, the blessed life, the charmed life of just being able to travel around and be a fucking trust fund guy, and yet to still be, like, bitter about it and just to find fault with stuff. Like, I never want to be that guy, but it's so easy to do. It's so easy to fall into that, and I think that is kind of how, is just to expect things. I expect things to be this way. I expect things to be that way. And they ain't. They don't need to be. Like, even I was thinking about Japan. Toward the end of being in Japan, just how I was getting, not even the end, actually, I guess this was happening by mid-Fukuoka, halfway through, the shrines. Like, why are there so many shrines? What does this mean? All these Buddha statues. And, like, it was bugging me. And it's like, well, what do I care? I just expect these to not be here? Why, though? Who cares? I'm sure there's some reason for it. There's something in the human brain that there must be some reason to always want to find fault with everything. Keep your mind grinding. But a lot of it is going to be just shit that doesn't matter and doesn't make any sense. Got to be a little wary. Got to keep an eye on yourself that you don't become a big weird stick in the mud. But again, I don't know how useful that advice is to anybody, because maybe you can apply that to other situations, but my situation is so unusual. This is probably only really advice for me, but hey, in case when I listen back to this, in case I've forgotten, you know, if I was going to have my memento fucking message on the wall that I see every day, I don't have a pithy version of it, but it should probably be something about that, something about expectations. Like, just chill out with the expectations. Cut it out with that. Cool it with that. Just let whatever's going to happen, happen, and it'll be fine. And I guess you can ratchet it up a bit. Like, oh, you expect not to have to go to the dentist? Yeah, why's that? You know? You don't expect to not have to go to the dentist back home. And, I mean, being out here, it's like a cool, unique place to me. But the people who live here, it's just where they live, you know? They don't have any expectation that they don't have to go to the dentist sometimes. This weird expectation that I should have a force field around me. Like, hey, I'm traveling. This isn't the time to go to the dentist. And, I mean, maybe that is generally, if you go somewhere for 2 weeks, it's unlikely you will have to go to the dentist. How many months do I have to be traveling before I just, for all intents and purposes, live out here, you know? For now, for this year, this is just where I live. I just got to do the normal stuff. Sometimes. Anyway, that's a bit of a ramble. Yeah, I'm for sure heading back now. Back towards Songjiang. But yeah, maybe that'll be today's adventure. Just a weird loop right back to where I started. But yeah, it turns out there's another beach. So this connection between Hyundai and Songjiang Beach is my fave. And Songjiang in particular, I like, I think, because it's smaller. And a lot of times when it's not the weekend, it's just kind of like a nice, cool little boutique fucking beach. But yeah, it turns out there's another beach in the Trio where, you know, Songjiang's a pretty easy word, even with my total lack of knowledge about Korean. It's like, yeah, I probably got that word down, but just to be on the safe side, I did Google it just to make sure. It's like, I just want to make sure I got that spelled right for the episode title. And I saw a thing that said, even though the two famous beaches are Hyundai and Gwangalli, Songjiang Beach is coming up. It's the up-and-coming beach. And I was like, Gwangalli, eh? What the hell is that? So I looked it up, and it's just a little further down the coast south from Hyundai. But there doesn't seem to be an easy way for them to connect. The way these two beaches just connect with this cool, not only the shoreline boardwalk, but even like this mountain path I'm on right now, that you can go various ways, various nice walks between the two beaches. It doesn't seem that Gwangalli connects to Hyundai in any easy way, like you have to walk through the city. But there is a subway station very near it, so I just took that on the Green Line. Super easy to get to, went and checked it out. And it was kind of cool for a second, because there's the big bridge that I keep seeing. Like, I think I first saw it from way far away, from that big 600-foot mountain out past the reservoir. I could see the bridge way in the distance. And then from the mermaid statue and from the boardwalk here, you can see it. And then when I was up on the observation mountain across the street from my Airbnb, I could see it from there really well. So it's like I just keep circling this bridge. And then now it was like, boom, I'm right there. Because when I got to this beach, Gwangalli Beach, that's the first thing I saw, was just that, like, boom, there's the bridge. Like, whoa, it's right there. Cool. I just found a little spot with one of the many exercise areas in the mountains of South Korea. And a nice little lookout here. You can just look out to the ocean. I can just kind of see Songjiang Beach a little from here. And a lot more populous here now that I'm at the exercise place. Not one, but two. Two fellow hikey people. Oh, actually, that's a duo, so three. But yeah, at first it was kind of cool because you just see this big bridge spanning, like going alongside the beach. But ultimately, I think it's kind of the least pretty of the beaches just because of that, because the view is just this big bridge. It's kind of cool for a second. But after you've been there for an hour, it's like, that's not going anywhere, is it? Just a big, giant bridge. And it was a bigger beach and very busy. So it was, like, bigger and more busy the way Hyundai Beach is. But also more active and more surfing and stuff. So it's kind of like a combo of the other beaches. But I think I would say I don't like it as much just because it's just kind of isolated. And then I walked around the neighborhood around there, and it's just surrounded by city. There's really no escape from that beach without just going into the city. Where I love that these two beaches are just kind of connected by the coastline. It's really cool. But it was still kind of neat just to explore it, and just like, oh, I didn't even really realize. I guess though, the first time I went to the coast here in Busan, it was, it's one of the subway stops. Daipo Beach. Oh, another person. Yeah, they're everywhere here now. And that beach was pretty nice, but there didn't seem to be an easy connection again from it up the coast. A lot of just city stuff. Wow, more people. Yeah, I've stumbled upon where everybody goes, I guess. But again, it's the weekend. If the beach is going to have hundreds of people, then this walking path with like 9 people would have none on a weekday. But yeah, if I lived around here, or if I was just in Busan for way longer, I would keep doing that, like just explore different parts of the coast and try to find all the different beaches and stuff. But from that first one, from Daipo, there did seem to not be an easy way to progress up the coast. The same way as here, I guess, where even once you go north of Songjiang, it's not easy either. Really, the only reason Songjiang and Hyundai Beach are so easy to get to is because they went out of their way to make this big 4-kilometer-long endless boardwalk along the shoreline, or else it would be impassable as well. So that seems to be how the rest of the beaches generally are around here. They're nice in and of themselves, but they don't connect to a contiguous experience. So that's what makes these two my favorite. But it is surprising too, like I didn't know this was up here, this path I'm on now. I just keep finding more and more and more little aspects. One thing I did the other day as I was walking along the boardwalk is there's a bunch of places on the boardwalk where you can go down to the shore. And again, it's just like a little piece of the shore. You can't continue along the shore because it's too rocky. And, you know, the water just rises right up to the edge. And definitely no one's looking after those areas because there's probably just going to be like a fucking little pile of plastic bottles down there somewhere or something. But still kind of cool. And then these paths up in the mountains are extra double cool because, yeah, they're not very high up. Like, I can still see down through the trees. I can see that that little monorail thing that you can take, the little trolley. But it's just nice. It's just a nice little thing. I can't believe how much fucking mileage I'm getting out of just this one little spot between these two beaches. There's just so many different things to do and so many different ways to progress through the two of them. And even just to see them when they're busy, see them when they're not busy, see them in the daytime, see them at the nighttime, see them on a clear day, see them on a rainy day. I fucking love it. I love all of this shit. Is that basically, I mean, I guess that is basically my whole Busan experience, I feel like, can kind of be boiled down to the reservoir and these beaches. That's mostly all I did. Keep going to the reservoir till I get that more or less figured out. Now keep coming to these beaches till I get these more or less figured out. And then I'm jetting off very soon. But I think that's kind of neat too, even if it's like a neat way in some ways, I guess, to gauge, like, is something cool? Is it worth coming to see? Is it worth checking out? And it's like, well, that one guy with the podcast for some reason just did like 6 podcasts in a fucking row about this one area. It's probably okay. It's probably pretty good. Well, since I've looped around and I'm heading back to Songjiang, when I got a coffee from the fucking convenience store, it was a 2-for-1 coffee. So I have another coffee tucked away in my fucking pocket. I'm gonna drink that bitch, cause I'll be back in Beachland with washrooms and stuff soon. All right, back at Songjiang Beach, just walking back along it. And again, yeah, just now that my expectation has changed, it's like, yeah, I know it's busy today. And now it's kind of cool, just walking down the busy beach, seeing all the people. There's this kid who was chasing a seagull around, or some kind of bird. And the bird would flutter a little ways away and stop, and the kid would chase it. And then he'd flutter a little ways away and stop, and the kid would chase it. And I was like, why doesn't this bird just fly away? You know, it's like stopped and been chased like 8 or 9 times just since I've been watching. It's like, it's gonna happen again, bird. Fly away for real, to a real flight. But maybe the bird wanted to be chased. I don't know, maybe it's fun. It likes that this kid is chasing it endlessly. I have no idea. But I was just thinking about something else that, again, I don't know how applicable this is to anybody's life who doesn't just float around from place to place. But along with having expectations of stuff, I think kind of connected to that is how it's so easy to get kind of blasé about a place when you've been there too long. Which I know to most people, it's like you don't necessarily have much of a choice. You know, you are where you are. And, you know, you got a life and you got responsibilities and you got a house and a job and a family and such and such. So I could just be talking to myself here, but I don't know, maybe this is applicable in some way to somebody. But I was thinking how it really is hard to not take a place for granted when you've been there too long. Like, even though I loved Vancouver, it was like very eye-opening to move there and be like, whoa, a big city can be like this? This is amazing. But then by the time I had moved back for my 3rd or 4th time, I remember I was there one winter where the rain just wouldn't stop for like an entire month. It was just cloudy and drizzly almost every day. And I just lost my mind. I'm like, I need to get out of here. And I've never gone back to Vancouver for any extended period since. I'm like, I can't deal with this anymore. This sucks so bad. And like Toronto, I was so in love with Toronto. When I first got there. Again, so much better than I expected. I'd always just heard, oh, big bad city, Toronto, that's no good. And it took many years, but now when I go back to Toronto, I'm like, oh, actually, I see what people mean, because that's how I kind of feel now. It does just kind of feel like big bad city. And then New York was that, you know, turned up so fast. The only reason I moved to New York is because it was so fun to visit. But yeah, I burned out on New York in like within 6 months. It's like, uh-oh, I guess I hate this actually. This is way too big and way too packed in and way too crazy and all fucked up. And I'm sure that would happen around here too. I've seen so many people on YouTube or whatever who've lived in Japan long term for like a decade or whatever. And there are a lot of complaints. You know, generally along the lines of, I keep trying to fit in and I never can, which I just think that's just how it's going to be. I don't think there's anything you can do about that. Which I'll give South Korea credit. I've done way less research about South Korea. But all the, you know, I've lived for more than a decade in South Korea videos I've seen are actually pretty positive. People seem to like it better on the longer term. But even people that are still on good terms with Japan, you can feel that it's a lot less exciting to them of like, you know, there's only so many weird tourist statues to see. Weird tourist statues to see in obscure prefectures, you know, I've seen them all. There's only so many places to go. It's a very small country. I've seen it all. It's just another Family Mart in another town, you know, which to me, amazing. I can't wait to like go down along the coast of Japan and just go to a Family Mart in every stupid town. That's going to be the best thing ever. But that's only because it's all still new to me. Because I've been thinking, even today, I was just thinking this today because I was, you know, started off the day on the wrong side of the bed. Having a little bit of a hard time not being cranky. And I was thinking about Japan and like, oh man, I sure do miss... I keep thinking of Enoshima Island, which I was so not impressed with when I was there because it's such a tourist trap. But I keep thinking like, God though, what I wouldn't give to go back there right now. Or similarly, along the tourist trap line of thought, there's this anime called Encouragement of the Climb, which I really like the anime Yoru Camp, and I like those kind of slice of life anime quite a bit. But they do generally, you know, along with the calming slice of life stuff, they generally also are an all-female cast, but they're usually written by men, and it's just about being cutesy, like the characters being cutesy. That part of it wears me out a little bit. And I never watched much of Encouragement of the Climb because of that. It's way more about that. It's about mountain hiking in Japan, which should be right up my alley. But the characters are so just like vapid, cute teen girls that it's like, this is a little much. You could reel that back a little and it wouldn't hurt. But I saw that they did a run of the first season of that show. The episodes are only 3 minutes each. And they did a little run where they went to Mount Takao. It's like 5 episodes. They are trying to decide which beginner mountain to go to. They decide on Takao. They go buy a book bag. Then they travel there on the train. And then they do the opposite of what I did. I hiked up Route 6 and hiked down Route 1. They hike up Route 1 and then down Route 6. The whole thing takes like 15 minutes to watch. And I was so goddamn delighted watching it, because it's like, that's Mount Takao, all right. That's the place that I was. The gloves that I found on Mount Takao that I still have, like where somebody obviously dropped their gloves, so somebody else hung them on a branch. And I had to make that decision of like, should I leave this in case the person comes back, or is the person never coming back and those will just, you know, those are abandoned. Those are essentially now just trash on the mountain. And I decided on that second half. So I was like, people never come back for these things. If I'm ever somewhere where I walk by multiple times and I see someone's hung up a pair of gloves somewhere, no one ever comes to get them. So I decided no one's coming back for these. I'm going to take them. And I've still got them. You know, they're pretty nice gloves and those are my gloves and they are my little Mount Takao memory. But it's this specific point where Route 6 goes from being a rough nature path to actual wooden steps built into the mountain. And they went down those steps. And I'm like, holy shit, I'm watching an anime that shows the place where I got my Mount Takao gloves. And it's just fucking delightful, just charming. But if you recall that episode, I didn't think Mount Takao was shit. I thought it sucked. It was so crowded. It was like this beach, but a mountain. It made no sense. It's still like the only mountain I've ever seen in my life that is that crowded. That is just like a tourist trap built on a mountain. I guess it would make no sense except that they have all the rail cars and the cable cars that you can take up. If people actually had to hike up to the top to buy ice cream, I don't think they would. But yeah, I thought Mount Takao blew. I considered that like a failure of a day. Like, man, that sucked. But watching it back through this anime, I did not think like, oh, I'd like to go back there the way I do with Enoshima. But I still just had good feelings about it. It's like, oh yeah, that was cool, you know? I don't want to go back. I don't think I'm going to go back to Mount Takao. But my memories of it, even though at the time I was annoyed by that place, the memories are way better. So that was happening to me even while I was in Japan, just for the 3-month visit. You know, I was like, ah, this tourist stuff, too many tourists everywhere. Why are there so many shrines? Like, it was already starting to happen. That feeling was starting to encroach. And then I was thinking of like South Korea, like today's a perfect example. Even though I woke up feeling kind of grumpy, I was trying to tell myself, like, you know very well that when you're back in Canada, you're gonna think back to this beach and wish you were here. You're gonna wish so hard you were here. So you are here. You're here right now. You're here today. Fucking get it together, grumpy. Just appreciate where you are. And then I started thinking of like Jecheon, same thing. Jecheon, you know, it's an odd place, pretty odd place, pretty 50-50 as to whether I'll ever go back to Jecheon. But I know goddamn well when I'm back in Canada, I'm going to remember Jecheon and be like, oh, I wish I was there right now. I wish I was at that reservoir. I wish I was hiking up that mountain. But like even being aware of it in the moment, like, I don't know, you just can't really force yourself to feel a given way. I guess being aware of it, you can keep yourself from capitulating entirely into Grumpsville. It's a good thing to be mindful of, but there's only so much you can do to force your mood. But it's a good example of all these places. Like if I stayed in Japan for years and years, if I stayed here for years and years, the same thing would happen as what happened when I stayed in Vancouver for years and years, and I stayed in Toronto for years and years, and I stayed in my hometown for decades and decades. Everything just wears out. The best place in the world just stops being fun. And I guess my point with all of that is to just sort of appreciate the transience of it. You know, I didn't have really that long in Japan, although again, it's all relative. 3 whole months to just wander around Japan, that's insane. That's such a long time. Most people don't get to do that. Here in South Korea, it's been 6 months, but you know, my time is almost up in Busan, and I mean, I'll probably be back. I don't know. It's just like good to focus on the positive in the negative. You know, the fact that I got to keep moving on and that I can't stay is a good thing. Staying is not a good thing. Staying makes everything wear out. Staying makes your brain just turn into the shitty human brain that it is, that's just dissatisfied. It's just trying to find fault and just looking for what's wrong with things. And I don't know that there's much a person can do about it except be mindful of it and try not to let it get out of hand, but it's just gonna be that way. So moving on is good. But anyway, it's nice when it all converges, because I am here right now. Here I am on the beach. I saw a little sign about Songjeom Beach. It's 1.2 kilometers long. So not short, but pretty small for a beach. Definitely smaller than the other beaches around here. And strangely, this is the same length. It's funny to look at the whole crescent of the beach and know that's 1.2 kilometers. That's how long that fucking tunnel was by Kamine Park in Japan. A terrifying tunnel that I went fucking walked through. This looks shorter than that, but of course it does. It's a beautiful, fucking amazing beach. Of course this doesn't look that big compared to the nightmare tunnel that just felt much longer than it really was. But yeah, I don't know. What is that? That's not advice, because what is the advice? Try to keep moving? you know, it's easier said than done. Just, I guess if you are in a weird life like mine where you do just keep moving, just appreciate that that's a good thing. I don't know. I don't know what my point is. It's hard to have a point sometimes. It's very difficult. But anyway, one last stupid little thing. This has been on my mind the whole time in Korea, but I've never really thought to bring it up. It just crossed my mind because I found a replacement hat the other day. It's about my hat. I bought this random hat off of Amazon before I left Canada because my other hat was getting worn out. And I just need some kind of hat with a brim because, you know, I tend to buzz my hair off when I'm traveling just for the ease of not having to worry about my hair. So my little handy head can get burned, and it's good to have some kind of a brim to protect your eyeballs from the sun. But I just got this random hat, and it's like a little flat cap type thing, but it has buckles on either side, on the left and the right, that I guess you could use to adjust the size of the hat, but I just left them as they are, and I never thought twice about them. But once I got to South Korea and realized it was pollution town, that became super useful, because whenever I put on one of these little 50-cent KF94 masks to protect against pollution particles, I didn't feel like it really fit that well against my face, or like it wasn't tight enough. So I pulled the elastics around behind my head and tied them together, but that was really tight. That was kind of crazy tight. And then I realized I could just, instead of hooking the loops around my ears, I could just hook the loops around these little buckles on the side of my hat. And it was perfect, because not only did it just give a little more pull to the mask, because I also need the mask to be very close against my face, or else it might fog up my glasses, you know, if my air is getting out around the nose part of the mask. It's a real pain wearing a mask when you got glasses. So that was just handy. But doubly handy, because I realized recently, sometimes if it's kind of musty in that darn Airbnb I'm at, I'll put on the mask at night, just because I don't like the musty smell. And I've started to notice in the morning, because in that case it's just around my ears, that my ears are hurting. Wearing a mask, I mean, for a whole night's sleep, I'm probably twisting around and stuff. Maybe I'm yanking it into weird positions, but it really hurts my ears. I have like a little elastic burn on one of my ears, like it's like rubbed a little raw. So I don't know what this kind of hat is called, but man, it's good. It is so good. If you're traveling to a country where you might need to wear masks, I super, super recommend trying to find a hat that has these little buckles, one on each side. Because this one is starting to wear out finally. I ran it through the wash one too many times and the brim is getting frayed. But that's kind of a cool, I mean, it probably looks bad around here where everyone tries to be very prim and proper. In Canada, that's a very normal look, that your hat has a frayed brim. If anything, that's fine. That's kind of cool looking. But I did have my eyes peeled of, like, I should try to replace this hat at some point because it's starting to get a little raggedy. But I looked everywhere and I could never find a replacement for this hat. I would be at literal enormous hat stores in, like, the underground mall that have just fucking dozens of types of hats. And they never had this kind of hat. But there's a little market near Hyundai Beach. It's like, you know, it's a whole little, it feels like Amsterdam a bit. Like you walk through a little carnival type area almost, where they're selling little food stalls, selling different stuff. And at night you can't miss it. In the daytime maybe you could, but at night it's all lit up and it's really cool. And I finally found one store in there that has this kind of hat. But they're like $17, which is probably, again, I don't know, I don't buy stuff generally. That's probably a normal price for a hat. But I tend to just buy like ball caps from secondhand stores or whatever. And it's like $3 for a hat. To me, I felt like $17 was a little expensive for a hat, so I didn't pull the trigger on getting a new one, because this one is still fine. But it's on my mind of like, okay, at least I know where to get one now. I probably will buy one before I leave Korea, assuming I'm back in this area. Because, yeah, just it's so handy. It's so nice for like an item that you have to have as many uses as possible when you're traveling, because, you know, everything is, space is at a premium. So I got the hat just to protect my little scalp and mainly for the brim. So on sunny days or rainy days, you know, just keep a little, keep your eyes protected a little. But it turns out that the most useful thing about it, not as much this time of year now that the pollution level seems to have finally calmed down quite a bit, but man, during the winter when every couple of days at least I had to wear a mask, having the little hooks on the side of the hat so that you don't have that pressure on your ears is fucking not only wonderful, it's essential. It's necessary. You know, my poor ears without that really, really hurts. It's not fun to wear a mask on your ears when you're not used to it. So yeah, again, I don't know what these hats are called. Little buckle on the side hats, but that was an unexpected bonus. That shit is fucking choice. That is excellent. So anyway, there's a fucking free-floating random philosophy fucking episode about nothing. But I hope that was entertaining to some degree. I feel like this might be, if not my last time on this trip to Songjiang Beach, then very near. But again, I still feel like if I do come back to South Korea, I'm definitely coming back to this area. So it'll either be Busan or Ulsan. And I can still get here from the train from Ulsan. So I'm sure I'll be back. And I will attempt to be back on weekdays. Definitely on the weekend. It's way better idea to go somewhere like the reservoir, like some kind of mountain hike, because it just won't be that busy. Mount Takao, that was some weird shit where just everything is designed to be a tourist thing. Your average mountain hike naturally drives people away because they don't want to hike up a mountain. So even on the weekend, it's just never that bad. It's never that big a deal. Whereas, yeah, shit like this, it's pretty, I mean, it's really remarkable how much, I mean, it's like this in every city. But man, like that, that Adia coffee, I'm walking by right now and it's like, yeah, it's packed up there. Where it was so empty. It was so, like, empty in a way that I should have known something was wrong. Like, it can't really be this way. Why would it be this empty? And in fact, why would the beautiful beach be this empty? And it's because it's the goddamn weekday. People got other shit to do. But yeah, this is just something I should probably just kind of minorly keep in the back of my mind a little more. Not to just, I mean, I kind of forget what day it is a lot of times anyway. I sort of lose track, which is sad in and of itself. But there's still many things you can do on the weekend, particularly nature hike type stuff that is probably not going to be all that busy. That's good weekend stuff. Going to a coffee shop by a beautiful beach, that's bad weekend stuff. That ain't going to happen. I wonder what day it was that I went to Mount Takao. I don't remember anymore. I think it was a Friday. So I wonder, if I ever did go back there, what if I just go on a Tuesday or a Wednesday? Maybe it wouldn't be that bad. Maybe it'd be kind of nice. I don't know. I'll keep that in mind. Maybe it's just weekend shit. The weekends, man, they're the devil. If you're stuck in the weekend grind, you have my condolences. Pretty rough. It's a whole different world on the weekend. Man, that's another thing that has happened so many times, it's almost not worth bringing up because it's happened like 100 times, but it just happened now. Is the scooter drivers. I'm sure I brought it up early on here in South Korea because it was so immediately apparent that the scooter drivers were following zero traffic laws. They're acting like they're pedestrians, but they're in a 200 fucking pound little motorcycle. But that is held true in every city, in every context, every time of the day, every part of any city. Always be careful when you're crossing. Doesn't matter if it's a pedestrian crossing and all the cars have stopped for you. Some fucking maniac in a scooter is gonna go bing, 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 and just zip right by. If I ever get in an accident here in South Korea, I will bet you 10 to 1, maybe 100 to 1 odds that it's a scooter. Those people are fucking nuts. So be wary. Make sure you're being aware. All right, well, that's a premium ramble. That's a premium ramble episode. Thank you for listening. Maybe I'll do an episode about traveling to Jeju. Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll just magically be there. I don't know. I guess we'll see. Tune in next time. Tune in next time to find out. Okay, check this out. I'm at the, I actually managed to properly do laundry today. Amazing. So check out this song that the dryer plays. The washing machine plays a song too, but the washing machine song is somewhat reasonable. It's just a quick little jingle. This dryer one, just imagine this in the dead of night where it's so quiet that, like, you know, everybody can hear everything in this place because it's like 30 rooms all packed together. And especially late at night, you know, you're not supposed to do stuff beyond 10 o'clock. And this is why I extra couldn't. I mean, I probably wouldn't anyway. It's just not polite. But this is like, oh man, if it's like 10:45 and I get this fucking jingle to play, this is like, I might as well be the devil at this point. And nothing you do will make this thing stop. You can open the door, you can be like, no, I'm here, I know, I'm aware. It's not gonna stop the death jingle. Okay, here it comes. Are you kidding? Like, I think it's over twice during that, and it keeps going. Okay. Okay, see you next episode.